We begin, though, with the big developments. Out of Turkey, among those released, our producer Jamal Alshayal. He was one of 8 Al Jazeera staff in the convoy, 7 of them on board the Mavi Marmara. And as the raid was launched, he was able to fire from the deck of that vessel.
The organizers on board the Mavi Marmara, after 2 people have been confirmed killed by the Israeli army, have now asked all the passengers to go inside. They've raised the white flag. This after Israeli commandos descended upon the ship in international water.
All communications cut soon after that. Jamal detained like everybody else on board. We got no news from you, Jamal, for a number of days, but good to see you. You can join us now live from Istanbul. We saw you there on board the Mavi Marmara. Clearly there had been some altercation before you started to speak. What had you seen?
Well, David, the events of that evening unfolded quite unexpectedly for everyone. Initially, at about 11 p.m. local time, the crew on board the ship spotted Israeli warships on either side of their own ship, as well as some sort of aircraft, which we later discovered to be a helicopter, from a distance. So they gave an initial warning to passengers to put on their life vests and to ensure that everyone was taking some sort of safety precautions just in case something happened. That quickly developed into them being attacked by the Israeli army, or the Israeli navy rather, roughly about 4 a.m. local time. This was despite the ship actually trying to move away from the Israelis, according to the captain. So as soon as this attack started, I was on the top deck, and within just a few minutes, there were live shots being fired from above the ship, from above, from where the helicopters
and these,
were.
Jamal, were the first shots that were fired, in your opinion?
No, the first shots that were fired were either some sort of sound grenades. There was some tear gas that was fired, as well as rubber-coated steel bullets. They were fired initially, and the live bullets came roughly about 5 minutes after that, after those initial shots were fired.
Let's try and establish who was doing the firing. Was it coming from the air or from the sea, from what you could ascertain?
It was evident there was definitely fire from the air, because one of the people who was killed was clearly shot from above. He was shot the bullet targeted him at the top of his head. There was also fire coming from the sea as well. Most of the fire initially from the sea was tear gas canisters, sound grenades, but then it became live fire. After I finished filing that last report and I was going down below deck, one of the passengers who was on the side of the deck holding a water hose, trying to hose off, if you will, the advancing Israeli Navy, was shot in his arm by soldiers in the boats below.
I want to ask you about a sequence of events, because we've heard from the Israelis on a number of occasions that they did not fire live ammunition until the weapons of 2 Israeli soldiers were taken away on board. In other words, it couldn't have happened until Israeli soldiers themselves were on the Mavi Marmara. That's what they say.
No, there's no doubt from what I saw that live ammunition was fired before any Israeli soldier was on deck. What I saw, the sequence of events that took place was that there was a pool camera, so reporters took it in turns to file. So after I had done my first file, I turned around to see what was going on, and there were several shots fired. In fact, one of the helicopters at the front of the ship, you could almost see the soldiers pointing their guns down through some sort of hole or compartment at the bottom side of the helicopter and firing almost indiscriminately without even looking where they were firing. And those bullets were definitely live bullets.
Did you see the person you claim was shot through the top of the head? Did you see him go down?
I saw him go down moments afterwards. I also saw a second person killed. After that, actually, 3 other people who were shot with live bullets were taken downstairs. They remained injured, at which point, when the Israelis came on board, the Israeli soldiers came on board, they stood outside the cabin where everyone was gathered. And people put up signs saying that these people are injured. They put the signs up in English, in Hebrew. They waved white flags. There was a Knesset member who approached the Israeli soldiers saying, "We have injured." She was saying, "They have injured people. Please come and take them." Yet the Israelis refused. 3 hours later, all three of those people that were injured ended up dying on the spot because no one came to take them.
Jamal, I want to ask you about the pictures we've seen where what appear to be Israeli commandos are being hit repeatedly by people on board the Mavi Marmara. The Israelis saying these were iron bars that were being used and that knives and scissors were also used. What did you see those next to you using?
I definitely saw iron bars. What took place was during the period when they first spotted the Israeli ships at a distance, and then when the Israelis came, the passengers took apart some of the railing bars on the side of the ships, and they used them to fend off the Israeli commandos as they tried to get on. And I did see a number of Israeli soldiers being beaten by them. In terms of knives or anything like that, this I didn't see. Even actually when we were taken captive by the Israeli army, they questioned me about these things, and this was something I did not see myself.
Because the pictures
aside
also...
Aside from bars, there were no weapons.
The pictures also appear to show those on board not just fending off the commandos, but wielding blow after blow to people who appear to be below them, possibly on the ground.
I think possibly I haven't seen those pictures, to be honest. The only I actually haven't seen any footage since I was only released late last night, and I landed in Istanbul just a few hours ago. The only images I have are the ones that I physically saw, and they were of people wielding those bars as the Israelis tried to come on board the ship.
Okay, I just want to ask you about another claim made by the Israelis that at least two of their soldiers had their sidearms, their pistols, removed from them by those on board. Did you see that happen?
No, I heard accounts of three, in fact, Israeli soldiers being taken captive during the battle. And those accounts said that once they had been taken captive, the intensity of the fighting increased. So the organizers of the ship ordered that these soldiers be released, lest the passengers be inflicted more harm.
But you didn't see that yourself. Okay, so I'm not going to ask you to give us any information on things you've heard from other people. How were you treated on board and then later?
To be honest, I think maybe with contempt is probably the most polite word, particularly as a journalist. I myself, as soon as the Israelis came on board and arrested everyone, I had my hands tied behind my back, and they stayed tied for over 24 hours. I needed to use the bathroom, and the soldier, in what maybe I'll try and put it politely, requested that I urinate where I was, in what I was wearing. This went on for maybe 4 hours until his superior came and allowed me to go to the bathroom, yet my hands still remained tied. Other passengers who weren't journalists, just the normal passengers, also similar things took place, whereby they weren't allowed to go to the bathroom, or they were kicked around, or their arms tied to the extent that you could see the blood pressure really increasing.
In terms of your release, how did that happen? What were you told by the Israeli authorities was going to happen to you?
Well, to be honest, as soon as we arrived in Ashdod, we were requested to, or I was requested to sign a deportation order saying that I had come into the country illegally, which I refused to because I didn't believe I was, as far as I was concerned, I was taken there forcibly and I didn't enter Israel. At that point, from that point until I was released, I didn't see a lawyer. I didn't see the British, as a British citizen, I didn't see the British consulate. They didn't come to see me. I wasn't allowed to contact anyone, not my family, not work. Whilst we were, I was in prison, there was no hot water for a shower. I had one meal. That meal consisted of bread that was literally frozen and some potatoes. So the treatment really wasn't what you would expect from a democracy.
Jamal, thank you very much indeed. See you back here in Qatar before too long, I expect. That's Jamal Al-Shayle, who was on board the Mavi Marmara.